What a blessing. That was a beautiful, beautiful two pieces and sung by such beautiful people. It is a pleasure to be with you. I am humbled to be in this pulpit. I've never stood here before. I did not win the award. Some of you guys went out of what's it called? The Dickinson Award or the some sort of award. I didn't win that award. I wasn't that great of a student, despite what Dr. Moore has said. I struggled through seminary. Started about 10 years ago, put my feet on this campus a decade ago. I know what you're thinking. I can't be that old. I began seminary at age 9, so those of you who are asking that question. But it is an honor to be here with you today, and I bring you the Word of God today. With it, I bring you greetings from the Highland Park Baptist Church in Bartlesville, Oklahoma. You know the guy, or in some cases, the girl. They're in just about every class that you take, or they were when I was in seminary. It's the guy that always has the question, the girl that always has something to say, as soon as the professor just slightly opens the floor for discussion, they are right there ready to talk and ready to pontificate and ready to explain to the class and to the professor how much they know. You may be saying, I don't know anybody like that. You may need to look in the mirror. We live in a day where words are a dime a dozen. The pundits, the blogs, the news stations, everybody has something to say. And I believe to some degree we have lost the art of listening. The art of listening is not just an art that we ought to aspire to. It is an art that is designated as a description of what true believers are. Jesus himself said, my mother and my brothers are those that hear the word of God and do it. And so this morning, I would invite you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 8, and we are going to look at this issue of listening. There is no other time in your life than now that you should develop the virtue of being a listener. Behind you are classrooms where you go and where professors articulate the Word of God to you. Sometimes it is an exposition of the Word of God. Sometimes it is an explanation of how to articulate the Word of God. Sometimes it is explanation of how to carry out the Word of God and carry it to the uttermost parts of the earth. Nevertheless, when you sit in class, you are listening to the very Word of God, and you ought to do just that. Listen. I'm going to be reading from Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 4. I'm going to read down through verse 15, a very familiar parable, the parable of the soils. Let me read it, and we will have a word of prayer and begin. Verse 4 of Luke chapter 8. When a large crowd was coming together, and those from the various cities were journeying to him, he spoke by way of a parable. The sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. Other seed fell into the good soil, and grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great. As he said these things, he would call out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. His disciples began questioning him as to what this parable meant. And he said, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those beside the road are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they will not believe it and be saved. Those on the rocky soil are those when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no firm root. They believe it for a while and in time of temptation fall away. The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go their way, they are choked with the worries and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity. But the seed in the good soil These are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. Father, I thank you that you have revealed to us that we ought to be first and foremost listeners, listeners of your word, listeners of the preachers of your word and the teachers of your word. And Father, I pray that you would give us the grace and faith required of us so that we could hear you even today. And Father, I pray for perseverance in our hearts, Lord, that you would grant us repentance and ongoing repentance and perseverance, that we would listen to your word for the sanctification of our souls. I ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Luke's account of this parable is in a little bit of a different setting than that of Matthew and Mark. If you remember, Matthew and Mark place this parable alongside the other kingdom parables. It is in the context of the kingdom that Matthew and Mark place this parable, and they want to describe to us what the kingdom, the nature of the kingdom, is all about. Unlike Matthew and Mark, Luke places this parable in his discussion on the Word of God, and most particularly the preaching of the Word of God. In fact, if you were to just survey the next two pericopes after this one, you will see that the message here is that we would be listeners. In this parable, down in verse 8, we see that Jesus announcing, "He who has ears, let him hear." In verse 15, it says, "These are the ones, the good soil are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart, hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance." In the next parable, and it's really not so much a parable as it is a proverb, Jesus says, he encourages them, "So take care, take heed how you listen." And in the last section, it describes an instance when Jesus' family came to see him, and I quoted it earlier, his mother and brothers come to speak to him, and he says, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and listen to it." So this morning, I want to describe to you what it is to listen to the word of God. The art of listening is not positioning yourself in a classroom where you can hear the best acoustics. It's about your heart. And so this morning we're going to be talking about your heart. All of you Baptist brothers and sisters will be happy. I've got 3 points this morning. Dr. York, I think, would be especially happy. All 3 of these points are imperatives. And so I will give you 3 points as my outline this morning. Point number 1, be mindful. Be mindful of what? Be mindful of your own wicked and deceiving heart. Now, when Jesus spoke this parable, as you can see, he spoke it as an enigma. That's really what parables were. They were enigmas. They were puzzles. They were unsolvable riddles by the general public. However, there are a few, including his disciples, that God had granted to know the things that were revealed in the parables. And so Jesus sits down with these disciples and begins to describe his parable to them. This parable, of course, is about the sower. And it really, you could say it's about the soils. It's more about soils than it is even about the sower. I will briefly describe to you what took place when a sower sowed seed in a field. A sower would generally have some sort of bag over his shoulder. This bag would have an open mouth. He would reach in, grab seed, and spread it. He would do this rhythmically. Depending on the seed, it would depend on how big a handful he had and the pace at which he crossed his field. The field, of course, would be in probably a rectangle, and he would pace up one row and pace down the next row and pace up one row and down the next row, rhythmically spreading the seed. Inevitably, some of the seed would land on soil that was not ready to accept the seed. Jesus describes for us 3 kinds of soil. And really, if you think about it, maybe Jesus wasn't trying to be too mathematical, 75% versus 25%. But most of the soil that this sower in particular sowed the seed on was not ready for the seed. He gives us 3 kinds of soil, and he really is describing the wicked and deceptive heart of man, that it strives to reject listening to the Word of God. And let me tell you something, students. When you go to class and you listen to your professor, there is a part of you, there is a fleshly side of you that wants to reject the Word of God. And when you sit in chapel and when you go to church on Sunday and on Wednesday evenings, there is a part of you that wants to reject the Word of God. And that part of you will find every way possible to reject the Word of God. I believe when Jesus sat down and described this to the disciples, He not only was describing to them what others would do, He was explaining to them to be on the alert, to be aware, to be mindful. He gives us three soils here. Let's look at each one of them individually. The first soil is found in verse 5. The sower went out to sow the seed, and as he sowed, some fell beside the road. And it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. As you can imagine, as the sower sowed the seed, some of it would be scattered on the road. The different hamlets in ancient Israel were separated not always by Roman roads. There would usually just be mounded up dirt between the fields where people would travel. And that mounded up dirt obviously would be packed very tight. And the seed, when it landed on that mounded dirt, would literally just bounce off of it or lay there for just a short period of time before people's feet would crush it, yielding the seed untenable, or the birds of the air would come and eat it right off the top of the ground. Jesus describes this verse down in verse 12. Those beside the road are those who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they will not believe and be saved. One way in which our hearts are deceitful and wicked and reject the Word of God is quite simply through instant forgetfulness. You could also say apathy. How many times have you, especially if you grew up in church, how many times have you sat through a worship service, you walk out the back doors, and you don't remember one thing? I got to tell you, growing up as a pastor's son, I perfected not the art of listening, but the art of not listening. I perfected the science of sleeping through a service while not looking like I was sleeping. I didn't want my dad to see me. I would stick my hands, the top of my belt, I would cup my elbow here, I'd put my face pointing right at him, I would close my eyes and drift off into never, never land. Many of us treat preaching of the Word that way. Maybe you treat the teaching of the Word in your classes that way. One way in which your soul and your wicked flesh is deceitful is in simply instant forgetfulness, carelessness, apathy, lethargy. You treat the Word of God as though it literally is a dry, boring lecture of something that means nothing to your life. Be mindful of this. Be mindful that your soul also will represent another kind of soil. Jesus describes to us a second kind of soil. We find that in verse 6. Look at verse 6 with me. Other seed fell upon the rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. What Jesus is describing here, from my understanding, is not soil that has a bunch of rocks in it, but probably a soil which was underneath of which, just six or eight inches, was a layer of limestone. The seed would implant itself in the soil, the rich, warm, moist, nutrient-filled soil. All the sun, all the moisture, everything needed to grow that plant would be used to grow that plant upward, not to grow that plant's roots. So unlike the rest of the plants, this plant, this shoot, would probably initially grow faster and more strongly at the very beginning. But as soon as the sun would come out, because it had no roots, it would be dried up. Jesus explains this to us in verse 13. Those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in a time of temptation, fall away. Be mindful, students, because your wicked soul will deceive you in grappling for some kind of enthusiasm and excitement over the word, but not true surrender to the Word. How many times does that happen? It happened to me a whole lot in seminary. I'd get all excited about something. A few months later, I would have completely forgot that I was excited about something I'd found in Scripture. I'd not applied it to my heart. I'd not surrendered my whole life to it. I had walked away from hearing the Word of God and not surrendered my life to it. Yet another way in which our flesh is wicked and deceitful. So many people in church are like this. I cannot tell you how many people in my own congregation. They get excited about the Word, but as soon as temptation comes their way, they reject the Word and they've not truly surrendered to it, and they fall in temptation. Jesus gives us a third soil. We find that in verse 7. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. What I understand, scholars debate whether this is referring to sort of a fibrous root system where the fibrous roots would sort of grow up into sort of a thicket. And they also debate whether it's just a bunch of thorns that would choke out. I think either one is acceptable because the point is the same. Here is someone who's planted this seed, this shoot comes up, and there are too many weeds around it for it to grow. Some of you experienced that in your own endeavors in planting and sowing and reaping. Jesus describes this down in verse 14. The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go along their way, they are choked with the worries and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to maturity. This soil is much like the prior soil, the rocky soil. This is the soil that is choked out by the worries of the world. Maybe they do come to a point where they understand the Scripture. They are gravitated to the Scripture. They love the Scripture. They want to surrender to it, but the worries of the world steal away their surrender to it. And so really this is downright unrepentance. They really have not repented. There are other things that are greater in their life. Wealth, the deceitfulness of it, the worries of the world. This is a kind of soil that rejects the Word of God. So my first encouragement to you, and I believe Jesus would say to the disciples, be mindful, because your soul will strive against listening to the Word of God. I've got to tell you, when I was in seminary, I probably listened a whole lot less than I should have. I probably am less of a believer than I should be today because I didn't. But I want to tell you, there were days when I sat in Dr. Lawless' class, in Dr. Schreiner's class, in Dr. Ware's class. I listened to their words as they gave us the Word of God. I walked away and I literally wept over the conviction of my sin. Are you listening to the Word of God? Be mindful, for your wicked and deceitful heart will strive against the listening of the Word of God. I'm going to talk about the last soil momentarily, but I want to make my second point right now. Secondly, be humble. Be humble. The disciples in every account, both in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, in every account, as Jesus gives this parable, the disciples come to him and they say, why are you speaking in parables? Why are you talking in parables, Jesus? The answer he gives in all three accounts says something like this: to you it has been granted. And this is an emphatic form. To you, who mean to you, it stands given. This phrase, as Jesus spoke this phrase would have snatched away any pride that these disciples would have had. You can imagine, disciples had been traveling with Jesus for some time. Maybe they would have seen miracles under their own ministry in the name of Christ. They may have gained some sort of popularity. People would have seen Jesus and associated them with the popularity of Jesus. They may have grown a little bit arrogant. We do see this arrogance come out from time to time when they argue among one another who would be the greatest or the first in the kingdom. But Jesus, in these words, to you it stands given. Jesus explains to them that God had by His sovereignty granted them an understanding of these parables. Why, you ask? Maybe the disciples would have thought to themselves, why would God grant us this? The only answer we can come up with is, it is the praise of the glory of His grace. It is the kind intention of His will to reveal to them the mysteries of these parables. And so we ought to be humble because God grants us. If there's one inkling of a desire to hear the Word of God, to know the Word of God, if there is one iota of a desire in your heart, it is not yours innately. It has been given to you. But we ought to also be humble because, quite frankly, it has not been given to others. Listen to what Jesus says. Verse 10, to you it stands given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to the rest it is in parables, enigmatic puzzles, unsolvable riddles, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now I believe on a fundamental level Jesus is speaking eschatologically. He's doing something that preachers today cannot do. He is pronouncing judgment upon that wicked and deceitful generation. Some scholars look at this parable, especially as in its position in Matthew chapter 13, and they follow a progression. They say that early in Matthew, Jesus is speaking generally to Jews in synagogues. He's inside, typically, he's inside homes, he's inside synagogues. In chapter 11, Jesus denounces Bethsaida and Chorazin, some important cities in Israel. In chapter 12, he says, woe to you, wicked generation. And in chapter 13, some scholars see that this is a symbolic gesture on Jesus' part. He stands up and comes out of the house and he begins to speak to an indiscriminate crowd. And he doesn't speak to them in articulate, clear, succinct sermons expositing the Word of God. He speaks to them in parables. Riddles. And he explains to them, I'm doing this so that not only for revelation for some, but for most, to conceal truth from them as a form of judgment. Now, whether or not you agree with that interpretation, I think all of us would agree that this is some form of judgment. Jesus is reacting to the rejection of him by Israel. He has been rejected. In fact, here in Luke, you see just chapters before that he explains the generation that they are wicked. And he brings up this verse of rejection, verse from Isaiah chapter 6, seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. You see, Isaiah was commissioned to preach, and this will mess up your missiology. Isaiah was commissioned to preach not for converts, he was to preach repentance for judgment. So that it would further vindicate God's wrath against those people. He was to go to these people, and yes, there was a remnant. We know comprehensively as we look at Isaiah, there was a remnant who did repent. But he goes to this people, and his primary goal, his primary task in preaching repentance was so that it would further vindicate God's wrath. It would make God's justice in damning them greater and more righteous. Now, our duty when we preach is to exposit the Word of God, is to bring people the Word of God. And I am thankful that God has not assigned me to congregations where there has been outright and utmost rejection. There has been some, of course, you will always see some, but God has always blessed my ministry with a response. But the fact of the matter is, in all preaching, and this as a template, in all preaching, there is a two-edged sword. One edge of the sword is to cause repentance among the elect, to bring their hearts and regenerate their hearts and to sanctify their hearts and to cause them to repent. And God's sovereignty works in gracious manner. But the other edge of the sword of preaching of the Word of God is to make God's justice even more just and to make His wrath and His damnation even more righteous. And so as we come, and God, Jesus is very clear here, as you listen to me, Jesus would say, as you are listening to my preaching, you need to take heed. Because if you walk away from preaching, if you step away from the auditorium in chapel or in your church or from your professor, if you step away and you are not convicted and you are disinterested in the things of God, take heed. It could very well be that in that preaching, God is further vindicating His wrath against you. And His fiery indictment against you will be made more true. Now, we would be remiss if we stressed God's sovereignty, and that's what Jesus is doing. To some it's been granted, to some it hasn't been granted. But we would be remiss to ignore, in our stressing of the sovereignty of God, to ignore the means with which God effects His sovereign will. That's a danger we see a lot. People stress the sovereignty of God to the exclusion of the means with which God effects His sovereignty. Some of the people that I treasure and I read a lot of, and I believe that they ought to be read a lot more of, and I wish and I would hope that our generation would see the importance of the Puritans. The Puritans are some people who were unafraid of the sovereignty of God, and yet they were some of the most pious people on the face of the planet Earth. From that movement of Puritanism and separatism came the Baptist, came the modern missions movement. From the Puritans, we also see great teachings on the sovereignty of God. Puritan John Trapp said this, "Means must neither be trusted nor neglected." So what is the means that God uses for you to hear? Yes, it is a sovereign act of God. Yes, it is something that is gifted to you from a sovereign God. Jesus goes on to explain that there is a means with which God effects this granting and this gift. And it is when we, number three, it is when we are diligent. So number three, be diligent. Look what Jesus says about the final soil. The final soil is found in verse 8. Other seed fell into the good soil. It grew up, produced a crop 100 times as great. By the way, that is much greater, I understand, than what typical produce would produce at that time. He said these things, he would call out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And he describes this verse in verse 15, the last verse of our text this morning. "But the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance." A couple hundred years ago, maybe more than that, George Whitefield preached from this text. It's amazing to me when you read some of the sermons from first, especially the First Great Awakening, some of the sermons are not so evangelistic as we would think. George Whitefield preached this sermon. He entitled it Directions on Hearing Sermons. In that sermon, he describes what it is to have an honest and good heart. This is a very strange, I'm told, a very strange Greek conglomeration of terms, honest and good heart. But Luke wants to show us the earnestness and sincerity of those who approach preaching with an open and listening heart. Whitefield says this, "Do not come out of curiosity, but out of a sincere desire to know and do your duty." I think a lot of times in seminary, things get a little clinical. We come and we practice preaching in the preaching labs, and we come to chapel and we come with a critical ear and a critical eye and even a critical heart. We do not come out of sincerity to know the Word of God and to do our duty. Whitefield goes on to say, "Give diligent heed to the things that are spoken from the Word of God." He explains that what if a king or a president were to come and to say, "I have a declaration for you today." You would be there. The whole seminary would show up in this chapel if President Bush were to say, "I have something to say to you." And yet so many of us find reasons to skip class, chapel, church, The explanation of the King of the proclamation of the King of Kings. Among other points, Whitfield goes along to say, do not entertain the least prejudice against the minister. Again, sometimes in seminary, we have a critical eye. We want to come and sort of criticize and try to figure out if he has a proper homily. Come listening earnestly to the Word of God. He says, make a clear, particular application of everything that is preached. That is, sit down, listening to the Word of God, praying, Lord, how can I apply this to my heart? Jesus says the heart that listens is an honest and good heart. It is a heart that comes with an earnest sincerity to listen and to apply the Word of God. Jesus also describes it, verse 15. It says, and hold it fast. The good soil is a soil that holds fast. Really, this is a term of faith, katekousin. It's a term that describes what we are as people of the faith. We hold fast to truths. We hold fast to the Word of God. We are people of the book. You want a description of Christians? Christians listen to the Word of God and they do it. That's what Christians do. That's what they are. Jesus goes on to describe the last phrase. He says, and bear fruit with perseverance. This is in direct contrast to the other three soils. Perseverance, hupomone, in contrast to apathy, lethargy, forgetfulness, inattention. Perseverance in contrast to shallow and short-lived enthusiasm. Is that you? Perseverance in contrast to those who are taken by the things of the world, the riches and the worries of the world. Perseverance. That's a listening heart. The people who come to you, including myself this very morning, the professors, the preachers, the men who stand in this pulpit, they come and they give you the Word. Because in the Word is found life. It's quite simple. The abundant life is not found by carrying a token in your pocket and praying sort of a mantra prayer. The abundant life is not found by being something that you're really not, knowing down deep in your heart you're just a fake. You're just a hypocrite. The abundant life is found when you listen to the Scripture with an obedient heart. If there's anything I would encourage you students to do this morning, it would be to, as you go to class, as you sit in chapel, as you go to church, have a listening heart. An earnest and sincere, faithful, persevering heart. Let's pray that we all do that this very morning. Father, I thank you for this morning, and Lord, especially I thank you for your Word. It is piercing, it is convicting. Lord, it is always true. And Lord, I pray that we would be mindful of our wicked flesh. And Lord, I pray in view of your sovereignty, we would be humble. But Lord, I pray that we would also be diligent to listen to your Word, to avail ourselves of every opportunity we have to hear your Word articulated. Thank you, Father, for this morning. Thank you for convicting us of our sins. Give us perseverance. Give us faith to trust in your Word. I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.